Genesis 22, thank you for minding God. I love Him. He's worthy. Growing up, most of us have been in this for a significant period of time. And when that's true, sometimes you laugh and joke about church things. Funny things happen at church, right? Be careful. I've laughed at them myself. These comedians that are making a good living laughing at church. I just want to throw something out there for you. Be real careful. We could all sit back here in the fellowship hall and tell church stories, okay? The two people I know who do that the most are Norma Jean and Larry, okay? Just so in case you're wondering if I'm taking a cheap shot at anybody, okay? When that's all you've known for 50-plus years and anything else you knew was bad, this is your life. And so we could all tell church stories and laugh. We've all done it. But boy, there's a fine line there of crossing into sacrilege. Just be real careful with that. And I trust the Holy Spirit to let you know when, hey, he just crossed the line. He just crossed the line, okay? And by the way, it's not just comedians in front of 10,000 people at the Civic Center. Preachers will do it. Okay, let's read Genesis 22, verses, we'll start at 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. The word means test. It's not tempt to sin. Okay, it's tempt in your Bible is used both ways. And you need to rightly discern the scripture, rightly divide it. And he tempted Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early and in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Can I interject a lesson there? What did Abraham say when God called him? Here am I. What did he say when his son called him? Here am I. Alec just shared a verse from Colossians about God dealt with husbands and wives and children and even servants, which rightfully, truthfully, in that time period, the word would have been the equivalent of slave. And he said God sent them some instructions too. Learn to treat everybody with respect, whether or not you think they're above you or beneath you. Some of us, you know, boy, we'll just, you know, fawn over those that we think are above us, because, you know, to see what we think they can do for us. But we don't have the time of day for somebody. Don't be that person. And I don't typically see it in our church body, but I know we're all tempted and capable of being that. And he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And all God's people said, isn't that a beautiful scripture? So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham, Abraham, out of heaven the second time. There are a ton of seconds in this passage. If you're a Bible student, you would do well to go back through it and mark all of them and compare them and link them together as couplets. And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That's the second time he said that. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Young people, listen to me. Most of our adults would know this. You young people, listen to me. If your parents include geography in your homeschool curriculum, don't whine and complain and say, why do I need to know where the Czech Republic is? Okay? You're showing your ignorance. I'm going somewhere with this. Here's what he means when he says you're going to possess the gate of your enemies. Look at a world map. Look at Israel and look at all the nations that are around it. Israel possesses the gate, the entryway, I'm about to run, the entryway of all of their enemies. And the enemies can't do one cotton picking thing about it. It drives them crazy. They hate it. They go nuts. And all God's doing over there is fulfilling these little snippets that are stuck in there here and there. And it's just playing out, okay? Possess the gate of his enemies. And then, okay, time out. She talked about Esther. What got all over Haman? Mordecai was in the gate and he refused to bow to his enemy, and the enemy just broke out in hives. The whole nation was fawning over Haman. The king was fawning over Haman, but one man, Mordecai didn't wear a sign. He didn't hold up a placard. He just said, I'm not bowing to you. That's all the three Hebrews did. They didn't march. They didn't draw attention to themselves other than they didn't bow when everybody else bowed. But I mean, they didn't try to bow. They didn't try to draw attention to themselves. They said, no, thank you. We're not bowing. This will help you. We've already bowed today. I should have got a better one than that. Here's the deal. They said, we've already bowed today. We don't need to bow to you. We've already done our bowing, and it was to Jehovah. Amen. Look at verse number 18, and then thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You ought to research inventions and scientific discoveries and medical advances by the Jews. It would do you well, okay? We had a Jewish lady visiting Sunday. I wish the Lord would add her to this fine assembly of saints, all of us Gentile dogs, okay? I mean, God said, I'll bless them that bless you, okay? So, sweet lady, loved the service, very attentive. All nations will be blessed. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They arose up and went to Beersheba. Okay, we taught as Courtney said on Sunday morning and night, and I told you Sunday night, I didn't think, really, and I probably have, but it didn't stand out to me. Over the years, I don't remember devoting an entire message Certainly I've dealt with praise and thanksgiving and us being a worshiping church. I don't remember dealing with that for an entire message. I know I haven't devoted two sermons back to back to that topic. Okay? And you can bet the farm that I haven't done three. And I'm getting ready to do the third one. And I'm thankful for your attention. I'm thankful for the testimonies tonight. And we've always been, before I got here, but since I've been here, I've experienced it, always been a church that was ready to do that. I think sometimes we ebb and flow just a little bit. And I'd like to see us get consistent in that area of praising the Lord. And that's why I'm staying here tonight. Look at verse number 5. If I ask you, what do you think my text is going to be? Most of you would say God will provide himself a lamb, because we've all heard so many powerful, beautiful, anointed messages from that verse. But the verse I really want to draw your attention to is verse number 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. If I stop, say the next word, please. I and the lad will go yonder and come again to you. If I didn't read the text, if I just said, y'all remember the story about Abraham when he was asked to offer Isaac on the mountain? If I just jogged your memory about that and I said, tell me what happened, tell me what happened, tell me what happened, probably not. And in all likelihood, the word worship would not come up into us giving a step-by-step remembrance of what went on there. But Abraham said, we're going to go worship. And Abraham said, and we're coming back. In the plural. Okay? If you're a Bible student, many of you are, if you want to jot down something, put in your notes to compare. I won't go there because it's all I would get done tonight. We'd be there for the next half hour. Romans 4, early in the chapter, late in the chapter, and then Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 19. God, the Holy Ghost, writes a commentary on what happened in Genesis chapter 22. God said, I told you I wasn't going to go there, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 11, God said Abraham offered his son. He said offered his son. Why? Because in his heart and in his mind, no other way to say it, he was as good as dead. When Abraham went up there, he was going to slay his son. Okay? So I would really encourage you, especially in light of the testimonies tonight, to go to Romans 4, the beginning of the chapter, the end of the chapter, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. In light of what we're going to study tonight, it'll bless you and stir your heart as we aim for Sunday through Wednesday and the special preaching services. Okay, tonight's message is purposeful praise. We looked at perfected praise Sunday morning. We looked at pure praise Sunday night. We're looking at purposeful praise tonight. And I am very comfortable interchanging the words praise and worship after 9 years of telling you there's actually a difference. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, praise involves worship, and worship involves praise. Here's one way I've said it that y'all seem to have resonated with as a church, and that is, worship is loving Him, adoring Him for who He is, whereas praise, more often than not, could be for what He does. That's not necessarily a theological definition, but I believe as Laodicean, we're in the Laodicean church age, which is rich and increased with goods and has need of nothing. That's wrong, but that's where the church as a whole is in our day. And because we're in the world, but not of the world, because of all that, I think we would do well to remember there are times we need to praise Him and worship Him simply because of who He is. I was doing some financial stuff today for the church and recollecting the funerals associated with Progress Baptist Church in 2019. Unbelievable. I mean, we have gone years at a time without having a funeral affect the church family. We haven't gone 3 weeks at a time since spring without a funeral affecting our church family. And so my point is, if that's the reality of where we are right now, buddy, you better learn to praise Him for who He is. Now, He's always good. The very fact that I'm standing up here breathing is a blessing from God. That I've got my faculties about me and can motor one step in front of the other is a blessing of God. There's no lack of anything to praise Him for. But the truth of the matter is, those things that we enjoy every day, if we're not careful, we take them for granted. And then you factor in trials and heartaches and funerals and untimely deaths or timely deaths. We've learned that those aren't any easier than the untimely. I doubt Brother Michael's grief is any less than Chris's. Right? It's different, but I don't think it's any less. So do the blessings that we tend to... I was walking yesterday. I'm walking today and I'm expecting to walk tomorrow. But you take out of the equation the daily blessings that seem to be always there, and then you add in some of those unexpected trials, and what you have to fall back on is you better learn to thank Him for who He is. Okay? Now, a mark of maturity would be, yeah, I'm walking behind a casket. Yes, I'm going through this valley. Yes, I'm experiencing this. But God is still good. I've still got breath. I've still got my faculties about me. And they're even in the darkest of trial, there are so many things to be thankful for. And let me just interject this. I feel like I need to, as a learn, if nothing else, for our children and young people. When those dark times come, just however you describe them, Brother Breck says storm, valley, and trial. When those dark times come, start thanking Him for everything you can think of. It is no exaggeration. We sat at that kitchen table in Barry and Kelly's house, and Barry just started listing things he was thankful for. Now, he's told us since then he has had some dark days. But I tell you what got him through that first wave, Brother Michael, that first wave of grief and darkness and sadness was just thanking Him for everything. You name it. I want to thank You for the trip we had to the zoo with two foster kids and the laughs and the giggles. You just start thanking Him. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse number 2. We're looking at purposeful praise. Purposeful praise. And I'm drawing on the fact that Abraham said, we're going to go yonder, we're going to worship, and we're going to return. It was deliberate, it was intentional, it was purposeful. Do you know what I'd love to see renewed, revived, built up at Progress Baptist Church? Do you know what Christendom, Bible-believing churches need like we've never needed before? We need to learn, some of us need to relearn, that we should come here for the purpose of worshiping. Well, I'm just going to let that marinate for a minute. I think church is so much a part of the culture that, and hey, look, time out, let me say this. I thought about this all day, and I believe I'm right. If worship means to ascribe worth, I think it is safe to say that being here is an act of worship. Without any unkindness toward anybody who's not here, and I'm going to make prayer requests in a minute, we all know that on Wednesday night, some people choose not to come. So I submit to you that coming and making it a priority isn't a part of worship. Now, I'd love to see us do what we did tonight, and once we get here, be participatory and not spectator. And I know what some of you are thinking, preacher, sometimes getting here is the greatest act of worship I've got. There's nothing left. Okay? Great. I'm glad you're here. most of us, unless we're carrying an oxygen tank, can sing to Him. The Lord has been so good to me. So you just went from, I got there, you took one step and said, I'm here. I might as well participate. And once or twice a year, I'll go to a ball game with somebody. I mean, sometimes I'll go 2 years and not go to one, but once or just every now and then I'll drop in on one and I'll see people on their cell phones. I see people thumbing through the program. Some of them can't stay out of the concession stand. And I get the social aspect of it. But dude, there's a game going on. There's your guys at the plate. Your guys under center. You know. And hey, if getting here was, you know, preacher, that's where it's stopping. Okay. I'm glad you're here. Maybe we should charge for seats or so, like, I'm glad you're here. But if you're here, could you at least do the wave with us? Can I stay carnal for a minute? Y'all seem to be picking up what I'm laying down. If we started the wave over here, could you at least get involved once? The Lord has been so good to me. Right? I'm kind of liking it. It's kind of working for me right there. Okay. I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship and come back. So here's what the preacher wants you to get from verse number 5. Come to worship. Come to worship. Okay? And how many times have you not felt like it, but you came anyway, and before you left, your heart was stirred? Oh, my word. I shouldn't admit to you that there's been times I came and didn't feel like it. That's probably not what's in the preacher's handbook of what you're supposed to say. But, I mean, good night. There's just times. No exaggeration. I have sat there, first congregation, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. No rest at home. No time in the recliner. No nothing. No Mexican restaurant. Say amen. Nowhere else I could be, Brother PJ, was going to do for this inner man. Everybody say inner man. Come on, church. Set not your affections. Set them on things above, not on things above. There's an inner man inside of you that loves Jesus. You might be so tired. You might be so ill with somebody at work. You might be so ill with somebody under the same roof. I've been there. My point is, come to worship. Come to worship. Don't let anybody under your roof. Don't let anybody in your extended family. Don't let anybody in the church. If I said to you, who in the church, you love them, you know Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them, but they get on your last nerve. Every one of you thought of somebody, right? Guess what? Somebody also thought of you. That'll preach. We're different. We're just different. We just are. I could still worship with them. Verse 2. Offering therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Look at that last line. One of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Seth, when he left, he didn't know where he was going. He said, I want you to go and offer him on a mountain I'll tell thee of. All you know is it's in the land of Moriah. True worship is preceded by obedience. Every time. And probably the best example would be the five Caswell boys. You've got Connor, out of school, young man. You've got Logan, a young man, a little boy, maturity at that level. The obedience expected of him is different from the obedience expected of Logan. But 2 years from now, they don't want Logan's obedience level to be where it is today. 2 years from now, you don't want his to be where it is today. I'm 56. 2 years from now, I don't want mine where it is today. I want to grow in grace. And God said, Abraham, what did God tell Abraham to do in chapter 12? Get up from the land where, from the land of your nativity and go. And Abraham went. Years and years later, what is Abraham doing? Obeying. If the worship valve is cut off in your heart and in your life, if nothing's churning on the inside. Now, I told you Sunday morning, I told you Sunday night, I'm getting ready to tell you again. We're all going to express it differently. Two of us could be sitting here together, both of us full as ticks. And one of us is going to go, and the other one's going to go, thank you, Lord. Both just as full as they can be. But if there's nothing moving, churning, rolling, sparking, connecting on the inside, you might want to go back up the road and see where there was a moment of disobedience that you haven't repented of. Everywhere in your Bible, it was preceded by obedience. Let me encourage you, check your obedience. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You young people, can I implore you? Learn now to respond to the voice of God. Worship Him. You're going to worship something. We're going to ascribe worth unto something. It better be something that's going to last forever.